You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
I'll tell you this, Keith, I'll tell you this right now. The British invasion reached its high water mark right there with Silhouettes.
65?
About, thereabout, I would say. 64, 65.
Well, I'll tell you who is overlooked totally as a good band, had one big hit after another. The Dave Clark Five.
Because?
They were eclipsed by the Beatles.
No. No, that's one of their songs.
Yeah.
It's right that I should care about you. Try to make you happy when you're blue. Come on.
It's right. It's right to feel the way I do.
Because
I love you.
Now that's it. That's what it's all about. We should have done that for Nick Griffin, I think. Hey, but you know, Silhouettes, that was my go-to British. Yeah, not that I was around.
Well, it was a doo-wop song in the 50s.
That's right. Yeah, that's absolutely right. That was like actually
that's why
a cover.
Like it.
That was it was a cover, but they were the ones who made it famous, I guess, or at least to that extent.
I'll tell you the one I like that is overlooked by Herman's Hermit. She's a must to avoid. You need to play that sometime.
She's a must to avoid.
We would dedicate that to the new Prime Minister of England.
Well, okay, now, in Silhouettes, do you know, so we only played the first stanza there. So our hero in that song goes up to the home that he believes is that of his special lady friend
and finds
her silhouette dancing in the arms of another, but then he finds out that he was on the wrong block.
Yeah. Said to my shock, "You're on the wrong block."
And then he rushed
ran
with
around
wings.
To serve your fame. With wings on my feet.
And then they lived happily ever after. Anyway, hey.
Yeah, it was a great song.
That's good stuff. But listen, let's talk about other good things.
I was trying to turn you on to Conway Twitty.
Yeah, he did that in the commercial break. It didn't take. It took a little bit, but not like that. Keith, listen. One of the
you're
things.
Not a true son of the South. You don't like the Southern rockers from the 50s like you like the guys from the Acela Carter.
I can't help it. I like what I like. Yeah, the heart wants what the heart wants. But one of the things that happens here from time to time is that when people come into Memphis, they asked to meet with us, and we had the opportunity to meet a trio of longtime listeners from Colorado just yesterday. And so Keith Alexander and yours truly, we met them down on the banks of the Mississippi River in downtown Memphis. We had a nice supper, and then today I was unavailable because it was my third child's second birth party, if that makes sense. But Keith had the privilege of taking these longtime listeners on one of his legendary tours of Memphis. It was legendary. Now, a lot of people come in town. A lot of people want to email, ask to meet us when they're in town. And one of the things we put on offer is Keith's legendary tour of Memphis. And he has given this tour to members of Parliament. He's given it to Philip DeWinter. He's given it to Tom Sunich. He's given it to members of the media who are even in opposition to us. He's given it to a lot of people. And he did it again today. Now, we're not going to reveal the identity of these listeners, of course, for their own sake. But we had a really good time meeting them last night. This is one thing that's funny. We're playing music tonight. At dinner last night, Keith asked the gentleman who has been a listener and a supporter for so many years, what do you like most about the show? And he said, the music.
I don't know if that was a left-handed compliment or what.
But in any event,
well, for the talk.
Hey, it's hard to argue with that. We're playing music like we've done tonight. But in any event, he likes some other things, too.
Well, I'll tell you something I learned from Philip DeWinter and Anda Vandermeersch's tour. They said they didn't know that Memphis was such a small place. And I said, it's a huge place. And I didn't get a chance to take them all around. So I've tried to correct that with every subsequent trip that I made. I took these people way down the Poplar Corridor.
All right, let's just start there. So with the tour that you gave today, some of our visiting listeners, who we love, and who we're thankful and grateful for, where did you take them?
Well,
and they're big Elvis fans. They're not just TPC fans. They're Elvis fans, too. So this was the best of both worlds.
Okay. First of all, I took them to Elmwood's – first of all, to Sun Studio. And they did the tour there for about an hour. They called me when they were through. I picked them up. Then I took them over to Elmwood Cemetery, showed them Confederate rest, showed them all these Confederate general graves.
All right, but hold on right there, my friend, because not only are they big Elvis fans and big TPC fans, big Confederate fans, and they're Coloradans. They're not even from here. Now, I think the gentleman had one Confederate ancestor, but by and large, they're from the Mountain West.
He is spiritually and psychologically attuned to the Lost Cause.
Well, so that's an incredible thing. So they like Memphis. They like Elvis. They like TPC. They like the Confederates. And so, my God, were you not the tour guide?
Can't get much better than that.
So what did you do with them?
Well, I took them by all of those graves. I took them by some family graves. I took them to see a couple of very, unique statues there. Then,
what is unique with regards to the Confederacy about Elmwood Cemetery?
It has more Confederate generals buried there than any other cemetery in the world, with the exception of Hollywood Cemetery in Richmond, Virginia. And this particular gentleman has been to the Hollywood Cemetery in Richmond, Virginia, something I can't claim to have done.
Well, when he stacked Hollywood versus Elmwood, how did it pan out?
He was very taken with Elmwood. He thought it was really good. He thought that his wife and his mother were along, too. And they were very impressed with the quality of the statuary, with the markers and things like this.
It is a beautiful cemetery. It is a tourist attraction.
It's a cemetery that is the way a cemetery should be. Not one of these things with little plants on the ground, that all look the same. They're easy to keep up, but they're very sterile. This looks like a genuine cemetery. It's great. I took them by Elvis's first resting place, the mausoleum at Forest Hill Cemetery in Midtown Memphis. Took them to see some other graves up there. Then I took him out to Graceland to show him where it was, because they're booked in for a tour tomorrow. So we did that. Then we went past my old house in Whitehaven. Then we came back into Memphis, and I took him down the Poplar Corridor.
They had a good time. You had a good time?
Oh, yeah, and they were surprised at all the nice sections of Memphis there were and how many of them there were. Most people think of Memphis in the same breath as Detroit, but Memphis has a lot more going for it than Detroit.
As we had at dinner last night, a beautiful part of Memphis, my favorite part of Memphis, want to tell our friends from Colorado what a great time I had with them as well.
Antelope Hill Publishing is America's leading publisher of dissident books, bringing you a wide variety of new translations and original works on every subject from the Spanish Civil War to the funding behind the transgender movement. Antelope Hill publishes books that mainstream publishers won't touch, full of information that challenges the political status quo and brings real culture to the reading public at an affordable price. If you count yourself as a political dissident, you owe it to yourself to check out the Antelope Hill catalog with exclusive offerings like Solzhenitsyn and the Right, The Open Society Playbook, Opioids for the Masses, and many more. There's something there for everyone. and new titles are added every month. Check out the catalog today at antelopehillpublishing.com. That's antelopehillpublishing.com. I'm James Edwards, and I want you to go to antelopehillpublishing.com.
Why does the left lie constantly? Because they get spiritual power from lying. The lies come from Satan, the father of lies. John 8:44. Here's how the political lying process works. Satan provides the beast with a lie. Then the more they use the lie, the more spiritual power they get. Look, the media is a lie multiplier, and this multiplication gives more evil, spiritual power to the beast, and that can overwhelm and even deceive the body of Christ, especially when the body is being disobedient to the head. The churches today are incorporated, so they're subordinate to human government. They obey the beast and do nothing to restore our national relationship with God. And the government shall be on his shoulders, Isaiah 9:6. That verse is not for the present-day church. Rather, it is for the end-time church, the body of the line of Judah. A message from Christ Kingdom Ministries.
Finally, I got a ride with a preacher man who asked, were you bound on such a cold, dark afternoon? As we drove on through the rain, as he listened, I explained, and he left me with a prayer that I'd find you. Kentucky rain keeps pouring down, and up ahead's another town that I'll go walking through with the rain in my shoe. Searching for you.
Whether that comes on the radio or if I have that queued up to play in the car, that one's going full max on the volume.
That was the first release off of the, Back to Memphis album done at Chips Moman's American Studio by Elvis. He actually preempted Neil Diamond, who was supposed to come in that week. When he said he was going to do it, Chips had to call Neil and reschedule.
Now, did our friends make it? I know they're going to Graceland tomorrow. Did they make it to Sun Studio today? And I was telling them last night at supper that Nathan Bedford Forrest's grave.
I showed them that too.
Was right next door to Sun Studio. People won't know that. So when Elvis was recording those original hits at Sun Studio, he was within
a stone's throw.
Stone's throw of Nathan Bedford Forrest's grave. And I guarantee you, it is likely the case that he would have been in favor of it.
Oh, I guarantee you would have.
All right. So anyway, to our friends from Colorado who came into Memphis and who we met and who we spent time with this weekend, we salute you. That song is dedicated to you. We had to play a little Elvis to it. As I often say, Elvis was the biggest thing in Memphis until we went on the air. So. Fall is in the air, and I'm feeling great about the way things are going. Very pleased with the body of work when we look back on all of the shows that we have produced already this year. But there's plenty more coming up as we head into autumn with a full head of steam. You're getting a taste of it tonight with Paul Fromm and Nick Griffin. And we're not going to disappoint you going forward next week. How about this next week, Keith? You ready for next week? Next week, we're going to have one of these tandem interviews. Sam Dixon and Virginia Abernathy are going to pair up to talk about, quote, unquote, our democracy. You think that's going to be good?
It ought to be great.
And also, back by popular demand, he was on with us in September, back already because, well, the audience demands it. Harry Cooper of Shark Hunters.
We really got a great reaction to Harry Cooper's show.
Well, and we're going to read some of it. That's actually what we're going to be doing right now is dipping into the mailbag. But before we do that, I want to thank each and every one of you who contributed to our third quarter fundraising appeal throughout the month of September. Each quarter, you and you alone determine whether or not the longest-running pro-white media broadcast in the world can press on, and we thank you for your support. Listen, I know, believe me, I know that times are a little bit tougher right now. Gas is, at least double what it was a year or two ago. Groceries, you got to take out a small business loan to go get groceries, so our contributions have been down a little bit this year. We missed the mark, in fact, just a little bit in the first and third quarter fundraising drives. But for everyone who did contribute, We thank you. We love you. We will find a way to carry on and press on, and we appreciate you. And all of those fundraising incentives, the Sam Dixon and Kevin McDonald DVDs, are in the wind. If you have sent something within the last day or two that has not yet been delivered, we'll get it out to you next week. But the vast majority of people should have already received their inducement, and we hope you enjoy it. Okay, here we go. Let's go to the mailbag very quickly. We only have a few minutes before we got to get to the last half hour of the show. This is from a listener in Beaumont, Texas. James and Keith, I apologize for missing last quarter donation. Money was a little tight from buying a new house, a new air conditioner, and a new truck. I bet it was. But after listening to your coverage of the Eliza Fletcher murder, Keith, you were excellent in that, by the way, I knew I needed to send in this donation. Your coverage of the event was outstanding. It's important to keep your show going so we can continue to hear such insights that we cannot get anywhere else. And that comes from a listener who is very valued and treasured in Beaumont, Texas. But, you know, our listeners, I like to do this, are all over the country and indeed the world. From Beaumont, Texas to Hyde Park, New York, we go. Hi, James. The show continues to be excellent. You and Keith continue to introduce informative and interesting topics and present them very professionally. I'd ask that you keep up the great work, but I'm sure that isn't necessary. After all, you've done it for so many years without throwing in the towel. Thank you and all the best. That comes from a listener, Keith, in Hyde Park, New York. Did you ever think you'd have listeners in Hyde Park?
Isn't that where Franklin Roosevelt was from?
I don't know. You tell me.
Something like that.
How about this one from a listener in Lawrenceville, Georgia? James, thanks so much. You're one of the few who hasn't sold out. Keep up the good work. Yes, I haven't sold out. That's why I don't.
Nobody's paid you.
Well, I wouldn't do it even if they tried.
No, I'm kidding.
Okay, so... All right, this one is very special. This comes from a listener in Park Rapids, Minnesota. So it's the big towns, it's the small, the big cities and the small towns, Park Rapids, Minnesota. Dear James and Keith, I can honestly say that listening to your show is one of the great highlights of my week. My fiance and I operate two small businesses and both have part-time jobs as well. So my time is very limited. It's just something we must do to counter our current economic situation in this Democrat-controlled country. While many refuse to work at all, we are not of that third world stock. We will survive and thrive, just as our ancestors did. I can't often listen to TPC Live. However, I never miss an episode on your website. He's talking about the broadcast archives. As I stated, I often listen to the show twice. It makes the labor I must do so much more enjoyable. My heart is re-energized for our cause, the promotion of our people after each episode. Please accept my humble donation and continue your fantastic work on telling the truth and shining a light on the greatness of our people. God bless you both, Keith and your families. Keith, that's why we do what we do. I mean, that is it. I mean, as I was sharing with a friend today, to earn the respect of the men we admire is the currency of our cause.
The fact that there are people out there across the fruited plain, across the entire world, that
are tuned in tonight.
Tuned in tonight, say that they depend on us, tell us that we're the high point of their week. My goodness, you know, that is such a one, gratifying and humbling experience to hear that, and two, it's so encouraging. You know, this is the wind under our wings, as Bette Midler said.
Your hero.
Not my hero. But even a blind hog will find a good acorn every once in a while.
That was a good song, too. We'll always be honest here. I liked that song. I know that song. How about this one? Now, this is the last one we'll have time for. Hello, James. I just watched a movie last night and thought of Keith. As I was watching, you may already know it. It's called The Raid and stars Van Heflin and Anne Bancroft. It was really good. The ending surprised me. You couldn't get away with making this film today. I enjoyed your show the other week when you had Harry Cooper on. Here's another piece of correspondence in for Harry Cooper, who will be back on next week. It was a nice surprise. I've been a member of his group forever. I actually used to be... Well, I can't read that part. Well, anyway, well, I just wanted to tell you about the movie. Love your show. Have a great week. That comes from a listener in Seattle, Washington. Seattle, Washington, Keith.
Yeah, and that's a great movie, by the way.
About the raid. Your thoughts on the raid. And it, that is a movie of Confederate prisoners escaping to Canada. They plan to rob a bank and set fire to the small town of St. Albans, Vermont. We actually have a listener in Vermont who has come to some of our conferences who has sent me a print of the St. Albans raid. And to get a few, to get the lay of the land.
I've got it at home, and I watched it with my girlfriend a while back, telling you the truth, just within the past month. Van Heflin, a great actor, always a solid performance in Shane. He was in, what was that? One with, about John Brown, Santa Fe Trail with Errol Flynn and whatnot. Always delivered a great performance. This was the produced and directed by a famous Mexican producer. It's kind of an anti-war movie. But I also learned something about the St. Albans raid in the meantime since getting my copy of a DVD of that movie. I found out that Judah Benjamin was the mastermind behind that and several other similar raids of basically having Confederates in Canada raid into New England and other northern places to get money to send back to the Confederacy.
Now, Judah Benjamin was your grandfather, correct?
No, not right.
Now, what was his connection to your family?
There's no Judah Benjamin connection. There was a Rothschild.
Well, I thought Benjamin. Where
oh, yeah, oh yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah. Come
yeah.
on now. We got
okay,
10
here,
seconds.
There was a letter to one of my wife's ancestors
there
from
go.
Judah Benjamin
there you go.
Authorizing that ancestor to raise troops on behalf of the Confederacy.
That's what it was. So not your family, but your wife's family tangentially.
That's right, yeah.
All right. All right.
Children's
All
family.
All right. Whoop.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News.
I'm Tony Maruso reporting. As Hurricane Ian charged through the western coast of Florida this week, the warnings from forecasters were growing more urgent. Life-threatening storm surge threatened to deluge the region from Tampa all the way to Fort Myers. The delay, an apparent violation of the meticulous evacuation strategy the county had crafted for just such an emergency, may have contributed to catastrophic consequences that are still coming into focus as the death toll continues to climb. At least 16 storm-related deaths have been identified in Lee County, the highest toll anywhere in that state. Much of Florida is still reeling after Hurricane Ian moved through. While the Gulf Coast cities felt the brunt, the state's central cities were not spared. Rising rivers caused serious damage and calls for help. Rescues were happening as far inland as Orlando and floods as north as Daytona Beach. The situation in Orlando warranting a visit from FEMA Director Deanne Criswell.
We have already started the planning efforts for what it's going to take to rebuild these communities and recover from this storm, but also recover in a way that makes them more resilient against some of the impacts from these storms in the future.
The cleanup, rescue, and recovery efforts are underway in hard-hit Fort Myers, Florida, after Hurricane Ian arrived on Wednesday. Lee County Sheriff Carmine Marcino saying on the county sheriff's Facebook page on Saturday, he's seeing the worst of times bring out the best in so many.
We are going to work harder, and we are going to be stronger than ever. And I ask of you to be part of this team. We are one big family together. That's what makes us great. And sometimes these horrific events bring us all together for us to move forward.
The powerful Category 4 storm with winds topping at 150 miles per hour has so far left 52 people dead, thousands homeless, and millions without power. This is USA Radio News.
Paid for by GovMint.com.
Have you heard? The United States Mint has issued the Morgan Silver Dollar for the first time in 100 years. Not only that, but they are also minted in 99.9% pure silver for the first time ever in history. Coin experts are calling this an amazing opportunity for anyone that knows the enduring popularity of Morgans. But you must hurry. Only 175,000 legal tender silver dollars were issued. These Morgan Silver Dollars are brand new, bright and shiny legal tender coins minted by the iconic Philadelphia Mint. Just call 1-800-875-7000. 1-800-888-7630 and you are guaranteed a new 99.9% pure silver Morgan dollar. The first time in history this has happened. But with limited quantities, you must call now to order. To learn more, call 1-800-888-7630. If you order now, you will receive a free collector bonus, a $25 value free with every order. Call 1-800-888-7630 now to secure your new Morgan silver dollars before they are gone. That's 1-800-888-7630.
I am woman, hear me roar, in numbers too big to ignore, and I know too much to go back and pretend. 'Cause I've heard it all before, and I've been down there on the floor. No one's ever gonna keep me down again. Whoa, yes, I am wise, but it's wisdom for the pain. Yes, I paid the price, but look how much I gained. If I have to, I can do anything. I am strong.
Obviously, she's never met one. Welcome back. We're playing a song we don't like. That must mean that Jack Ryan is bringing it to our attention to make a teachable moment out of it. So welcome back, Jack. And that's great. Helen Reddy from...
Looks like a little boy.
1971. Yes, Keith and I have got the visual on this audio. Am Woman from 71. Why are we playing it tonight, Jack? And welcome back, Jack.
Thank you so much for welcoming back. Instead of playing the music that I love and that you like, Delta Blues, Chicago Blues, Motown, Soul, R&B, I even like disco, I thought I would break it up and play some of the music I really dislike or I really hate. And this would be one of the songs. You'd be hard-pressed to find any other song that I hate more than this Helen Reddy, I Am Woman, feminist crap. And you look at all of the isms of the 20th century, communism, Bolshevism, Marxism, cultural Marxism, international finance, capitalism,
Dadaism,
neoconservatism. I don't think that Satan has ever created anything as really destructive and bad for our American people than feminism. I don't even think Satan Lucifer really likes feminism. I think he just created it to destroy our family. He doesn't want to hang out with feminists. He'd rather hang out with hookers or prostitutes or something like that. Like, who likes feminists? Is there any man on planet Earth or very few women that like feminism? I don't. Do you think that, like, Bill Clinton likes feminists? His wife became a feminist. He doesn't have any interest in his wife, Hillary.
He doesn't like his wife enough to have sex with her.
Yeah. No, he has no interest in her in any way that a man does for a woman in this feminist stuff. And this came out. My mom was very much against this feminist, ERA things. Phyllis Schlafly went against it. My mom is the greatest woman, really beautiful, nice, attractive in a wholesome way. But this feminist crap came in, and boy, we hated it. And it's just been nothing but bad for our life. So if any of our young people out there, if you see a nice Southern gal and you like her, you like she likes you, just marry her. Don't worry about it, because if things get worse as you get along, these feminist, miseducated women, they're taking over everything. They're making our lives miserable. And that song really, it's so bad, I barely can even stomach to hear it. I'm glad I didn't eat a full meal, or I would have barfed it up. Like, oh, that was horrible. It was just dreadful, horrible, horrible.
Yeah, you know, this is to your point, Jack. I said for years, and it was true at the time, even years into this radio program, that I had believed at the time that I had become more moderate than I was in my youth. And that is, I think, at least in a way, somewhat typical that, you know, you mellow out as you get older. But that was, you know, maybe 10 years ago when I would say that. Now, at the age of 42, I am much more radical than I was as a teenager or as a man in my early 20s when I started this radio program. And I think that is a response to the absolute lunacy and degeneracy and evil of the left. Everything I've seen since 2015 with Antifa and so-called Black Lives Matter and
critical race theory,
the radical feminist, yeah, all of it, all of it. I mean, the thing is,
sexual,
you know, people,
grooming of our children.
Yeah, all of it. I mean, yeah, no, this is the thing. It was just like, you know, before I was like, okay, well, you know, we certainly need to be in power. These ideas that they are propagating are not good for our people.
They're
we
not
need
good.
To be in power.
Yeah.
But once we're in power, you know, they'll be our subordinates, but let bygones be bygones.
Right.
No, I don't feel that way anymore.
No.
I feel now is we have to be completely separate from these people. These people have
liberalism is the modern face of
these
evil.
People have to go.
I'm more certain about that with every passing day.
They have to go. There's no coexisting with them. They have made that clear. I have no interest in peace with them. I'm not going to do anything illegal. I'm not going to advocate for anything illegal. I don't think you have to. But there has to be a separation.
There's not going to be any offering, any olive branch offered to them.
Separation, but also just having to deal with, we're humans and then we're animals, and this is a big problem that we get into is that humans think they're above nature, that we're not animals, and yes we are. So in the animal world, I think some of the most beautiful animals in the world are the African elephants and the African lions. And the lions, the male and female have to get it. The African male lions are very handsome and strong, but mostly they just sleep and mate. They don't do. The African lionesses are so cool and they're great mothers.
That's a good deal.
Like that. So, yeah. So, when we're dealing with human females, we can't try to use reason and arguments and stuff because we're dealing with animals. And so, we have to get our young women to try to get them to be civilized and married at a younger age, because if they're not married over 30, they cause trouble. So I support Hamlet, Prince of Denmark, in Shakespeare's Hamlet, when this gal, Ophelia, his girlfriend, was trying to mess with me. He said, just get thee to a nunnery. He just said, just get thee to a nunnery. Get out of my face. I don't want to deal with you. And that's what we have to do. If these women become crazy, lunatic stuff, we can't try to reason with them. We just have to get them to a nunnery or send them someplace, send them off to ISIS or something like that. Like, we have to, because they're destroying our civilization.
I tell you, no, I mean, this is what I said. I mean, with regards to having peace with today's contemporary, for lack of a better term, leftists or radical feminists or whatever you want to call them, there can be no peace. Have you ever met one? I have. Do you know how obnoxious these people are? Do you know
how? Have you
how
ever seen a happy?
They are gross.
No,
they're gross. They're gross. They are gross. Yeah. They're despicable. You don't want them anywhere.
Like a freight train take a dirt road, as we say here in the South.
Yeah, but okay. But the other side of this, and this is the one that I try to promote in all my writing, is the divide between liberals and conservatives, left and right. That's from the French Revolution. So it's not really there. And most of these things in between men and women are not really conservative left and right. And you think that you have these conservative or right-wing women, you think they're on their side. Like the option, the one I promote is Ann Coulter. I think she's one of our best writers, very good. And I met her at a Christmas party, Immigration Patriot party, and I introduced myself. Hi, I'm Jack Ryan, and I'm a writer for Oxford. All of a sudden, she goes, great. I like how everyone here claims they're a writer. And she just goes on, poof, and like, whoa, you know, and it just, and then whatever happened, she didn't get married and she doesn't like men. And I'm not allowed to use this word on this family one, but the Beach Boys, Ann Coulter was a beach that night, and she doesn't like men. And,
Boyfriend Kid Dynamite.
Yeah. No. I'll tell you a story. Yeah. We don't punch right on this show.
Right.
We don't punch right on this show, Jack, as you know. But listen, let me tell you something in agreement. Yeah. I got to tell you this in agreement. I'm here with you. And I know you agree with this. Ann Coulter is brilliant. Right. She's a
brilliant
writer.
Great writer.
She does good for our cause.
Yeah. But she's
But I'll share a story that I saw. I interviewed Ann Coulter at the Republican National Convention. She was very courteous and accommodating to me. But I observed her throughout the week because she was on press row, as I was, with the media credentials, and we were there. And she treated everyone like the scum of the earth. Everyone.
She did, yeah.
She had little kids. And I'm not talking there was like a throng of people. She was too busy. She couldn't get to everyone. Right. I saw a little girl. And I have two daughters. A little girl, maybe 8 years old. She came up. Yeah. She asked for her autograph. And she said no. You know, as if it was, you know, it was contemptible.
What a beach.
I mean, it was something. But you know who she was hanging all over that week? I don't mind saying this. I like Ann Coulter's work. I'm just telling you the truth as I saw it. We interviewed Ann Coulter. I have a picture with Ann Coulter that was taken. The Southern Poverty Law Center posted it. Right. So there's that. Right. But anyway, but she was all over Milo Yiannopoulos like he was Jesus Christ. I mean, she was hanging all over him. Well, she was dismissing her fans, dismissing little kids, but hanging all over Milo like he hung the moon.
Well,
and
funny,
it just didn't sit quite right with me. It didn't sit quite. I like her work. I like what she says.
It didn't sit right with me.
I'd rather join the company of you and Keith.
Yeah, she's a female. It's like a female lioness. You can't try to use reason with her. And with women like that, you just need to get some biker to make some deal with her father.
Maybe because
give her
he was gay, she didn't feel threatened by
him. Yeah, just come take her out and knock her up, man. If I was a little younger and she was younger, I'd
no, hang on now.
I don't know about
that's
that.
What we do.
As they say in the movie Ferris Bueller's Day Off, what country do you think this is? He asked if the guy could speak English at the car garage. That's a great movie, too. We've had weather like that this week. How could anyone go to school on a day like this? We'll be right back.
I'm Michael Hill, president of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C. and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
As you are aware, America is divided over every fault line possible. This is intentionally fostered by those who do not love God, family, or country. We believe a peaceful future as a free people absolutely depends on civility. Clarion Call for Civility is looking for funding and volunteers at every level to make our hopes and efforts a reality. Please donate, sign our pledge, and help us in our sacred cause. Please visit callforcivility.com for more details. callforcivility.com.
There has been no evidence of widespread voter fraud.
The 2020 elections were one of the most corrupt in history. See the proof for yourself.
We tracked 2,000 mules making multiple ballot drops.
2,000 mules, the shocking new movie from Dinesh D'Souza.
One mule made 53 trips to 20 drop boxes.
2,000 mules. Join the special virtual premiere and Q&A on May 7th. Get your tickets now. Available only at 2000mules.com. 2000mules.com. Sponsored by Salem Media Group.
I want to say something that's absolutely from the heart, and that is how the heart breaks for the victims of Hurricane Ian. Florida is a Confederate state. Florida is a state that I've spent a lot of time in.
One of your favorite places.
One of my
devastated.
Absolutely, Keith. Thank you. One of my very favorite places in the world was devastated. Hurricane Ian actually made landfall on the twin islands of Sanibel and Captiva. For years and years and years, I have spent time in Southwest Florida every summer. We go to Sanibel every year, and Sanibel is gone. I mean, there is one causeway in and out of the island, onto and off of the island, and there are
washed out.
Yeah, it's you can't get there. It's inaccessible. The roads on the island are gone. Sanibel is basically a wildlife preserve. If you don't know anything about the island, it is not like your regular tourist traps in Florida. There are no.
Actually spent a vacation there. I remember going there. I have very
fond.
It's
wonderful. The Ding Darling Wildlife Preserve. You can see manatees. You can see alligators. You can see all kind of birds and fish. And there are no buildings on Sanibel taller than the highest tree. There are no stoplights on Sanibel. There are no chain restaurants. It's a beautiful place, Sanibel Captiva, and it's gone. I mean, it is gone. Right. It looks like I have been looking at the pictures. It looks like Nagasaki. It looks like Hiroshima. It right. looks like an atom bomb hit it. They will rebuild because it's a wide area. But as far as the family trips every year that we have taken for as long as my kids have been around, I can't even imagine how long it will take, if ever. I mean, so many of those buildings and restaurants that we would go to are gone. They're gone. They are gone. It's not as if they have a little bit of damage. I mean, they're gone. You look at the before and after picture of the Sanibel Lighthouse, all of the buildings that were around it, gone. It's like it not even existed. This is an incredible thing, Jack. This hurricane was one of the most devastating storms in history. People aren't talking about it. And it hit the South, and so our heart is there. It went all the way across the state of Florida and then became a hurricane again and hit Charleston.
Right.
Jack, go.
Right. Okay, so my view on this is, I got a couple perspectives on this, is that this area in Florida and the West Indies, it does have hurricanes, okay? It's something like the Nile River flooding or the Mississippi River flooding, okay? It's bad, but it's not something unusual that they do have these hurricanes. And so other places have them in nature. So my view on this is you should either try to have a building that's like an English stone castle that can take the worst hurricane, or else you do what the nomadic tribes in Eurasia do, is that you don't have prominent buildings. You got tents and stuff. And when you find out a hurricane's going to come, you get your family and your possessions, and you just get out of there when the hurricane comes. And that you don't expect your car to last 100 years. You get a car like that, they have it. But there are going to be hurricanes. I don't want to live like that because they have hurricanes. I live outside of Chicago. We don't have a lot of nature. We don't have earthquakes. Tornadoes get broken up. We don't have hurricanes. Our people are people problems, but you're going to have that. So if you live in Florida, you have to expect that you're going to get a hurricane every 2 or 3 years. I never got over when they stopped just naming hurricanes after women, when they named it after men, because a hurricane is so feminine. It's so the temple is starting
Andrew.
To burn. Yeah, like Hurricane Camille, Hurricane Katrina. Who's ever going to get scared about Hurricane Ralph? Just give them a beer, you know, like there. But I guess this Hurricane Ian was destructive that they have it. But so, I mean, you're going to live down there, and then if you're living in the Florida Keys, there's not a lot of land. And then it looks good on the summer, but a hurricane
Don't you yearn for the good old days when they named hurricanes after women and not after
only
men?
Only women, I think. Well,
that's what he just said.
No. That's what I said.
Others are hurricanes, not hurricanes.
It's so feminine. It's just like the temper is starting to build. It's starting to build, and then it's going to blow. The hurricane is going to be that they have. But it's there. And then our people, I don't know. I didn't spend a lot of time in Florida. I went on spring break or something.
We're
going
to dedicate this show to Gloria Steinem.
Oh wow, Gloria Steinem, Bella Abzug. Ooh, who was that one that said that white
Gloria
or the
Allred.
Cancer of society? Gloria Allred.
Oh, Susan Sontag.
Ooh, we got some ugly looking ones, but
like
we got
freight
some.
Train
you know, there's
dirt
some
road,
ugly,
as I say.
Yeah, there's some ugly looking, nasty feminist.
I mean,
Gentiles like Hillary and her son Chelsea. Ooh, she's a So I don't know, we want to talk about the other things, but I think that obviously things are not going well between men and women. I want to do a shout out to one of my couple of Southern girlfriends, Miss Cindy Ray from Chattanooga, Beth from Texas. And man, I messed up. If you see a pretty girl, Southern girl, and you like her, she likes, just marry her. Because if you don't do that, the options later on in life are just getting really bad. There are these Northern miseducated college women. I'm not being facetious. I'd rather hang out with black gang members than these feminist Northern women. Black gang members are more fun than these ones. So anyway, that's what it is. But whatever, I got to make my book recommendation. Do I have time for that or the movie?
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah, we got 5 minutes. So yeah, I forgot about that. My producer's sending me something. Mr. Producer, you can come in my ear and tell me. Yeah, we will. Okay, Jack, we got actually a caller in Brazil.
Right. Oh, wow.
So why don't you give us a 1 minute recommendation? Let's go to Brazil.
If you know some women, some women.
Girl from Ipanema.
All right, give us your recommendations in 60 seconds or less, and let's take this call from Brazil. We don't ever open the phone lines, but we will from Brazil.
Okay,
my
recommendations are Bernard Goldberg, Bias. He just was a CBS correspondent, secular Jewish guy from CBS, but he got just so frustrated with the lying up there. They wrote it. And then a movie recommendation. It's not a New York one. It's Woody Allen's Radio Days. And it's a beautiful romantic one about it. And we need to get up every morning, read good books, and watch good movies. So those are my recommendations.
Well, we will bring to an abrupt end Jack's recommendations to accommodate this caller, and I believe it will be from Sao Paulo, Brazil,
wow,
as opposed to St. Paul, but we'll find out. So let's find out who it is and what he has to say. You are on from Brazil with James, Keith, and Jack, the TPC Saturday Night Crew. How are you doing in Brazil?
Hi, James. It's Henrique, one of the brothers from Brazil. How are you doing?
We're doing great, and it is great to hear from you. So, hey, listen, we hear you loud and clear. We've got about 3 minutes remaining. What can you tell us about the situation in Brazil with Bolsonaro? We were actually just mentioning that earlier.
I didn't get the first hour from the show, the couple of first hours. I hope you guys pray for us because we really need to win this one. South America is almost all gone for communism and socialism. And Brazil is a last stand, so hope you pray for us. And Bolsonaro tomorrow is going to be president again, hopefully.
We actually should just have communism and all of that. We have wokeism, which is probably communism to the third power.
Well, we actually just mentioned that.
They have feminism in Brazil. They don't have feminism in Brazil. There's sexism.
We'll ask that. We actually just mentioned the fact
in the
last hour with Paul Fromm that the election of Bolsonaro was tomorrow. And so if you're listening in the archive, if you're listening live, it's tomorrow, Sunday. If you're listening in the archive, it was on Sunday. But, Jack, yes, your question about feminism in Brazil to our caller from Brazil.
Yeah, they're sexy women. They're not feminists.
So, Jack, first of all, I really like you, man. I was in Chicago, and I thought I could meet you, but we're going to be in Chicago again, and then I think I can meet you. We have a lot of feminism. We got to understand that the communist movement is not against just only the United States and and Europe. In South America, we also have that because it's not against developed countries. You always think about underdeveloped countries sending people to America because they are underdeveloped. The fight is different. We have the same problems here with communists, with communist people trying to take over the government and everything. It's been hard.
Well, Jack, they tanked Venezuela, which had all the natural resources in the world, but bad communist leadership brought them down.
Well, I'll tell you, one thing, no matter what happens tomorrow, my friend from Brazil, we may, I will be in touch with you. Perhaps we can have you back on next week to break things down. But, Jack, what does it mean to you to have a listener who's a fan of yours in Brazil?
Just to have him fixed me up with some sexy Brazilian women. My last girlfriend was an expat from Venezuela. It broke like a 20-year losing streak. So it's bad when a South American country goes communist. But for like Midwestern guys and stuff, you get some emigres of some good-looking European women that like will be nice to a white Anglo guy. It's bad for Venezuela or Brazil, but it's good for us because, you know, I don't know. We could send these feminist Hillary people down to Venezuela or there, the communists, and I don't know, make them there.
Well, they don't want them either. Well, no one who wants it. We actually had Jose Nino from Venezuela recently, and he was great. Hey, listen, I wish we could have gotten to you a little bit earlier tonight, but with the election of or re-election of Bolsonaro, we hope tomorrow. I'm going to send you an email. We're gonna be in touch, and maybe we can continue this conversation next week. We sort of try to shoehorn it in at the last minute, but thank you so much for the call from Brazil, for Jack Ryan and Keith Alexander, and our guest tonight. Boy, what a world tour tonight we had! Brazil, Canada with Paul Fromm, and the UK with Nick Griffin. They're all
and Jack there. Ryan from Mars.
Well, from Chicago, that's an international country as far as I'm concerned. I'm James Edwards. We'll talk to, I hope, everyone again next week, including our dear friend from Brazil. Stay tuned, everybody. We'll be back 7 days from now.